All right.
Well, as you heard, Cora's pastor said that if you recall, back at the beginning of July, with the new Sunday morning series, he was going to have Brother Matt and I alternate Sunday evenings so that he has the extra time to afford for working on the PowerPoint presentation for that morning message series, which has been a tremendous blessing. And I tell you, the power of the Word of God to talk to us and to speak to our spirits has been tremendous. And so I appreciate the opportunity here tonight once again to open and to share with you what God has given me. Last Sunday morning, I believe God gave us a message based out of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, if you recall, that helped us to see that even though we were born with a sin nature, and by that nature we have done, okay, truth be told, we sometimes still do, have done things that directly and even indirectly go against everything that our holy and righteous God is. And the things go against all that God wants for us to be. Even despite that, He, in His completeness, that is, He, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, still look upon us with love, with compassion, with yearning, with desire, and with a readiness to forgive. We saw through Scripture that we, His creation, we were, and we are, as we looked, worth every effort God puts forth to reconcile, even to the point of the very life of Jesus Christ, His Son, our Messiah. Tonight, as I pray that God will help us, we'll dig just a little bit deeper into, perhaps call it the mind of Christ, as God has given us His record, to be reminded, or to see perhaps, just how and or why our Savior could and would carry such a burden as us upon Himself. And He did that alone. Isaiah chapter 53, I believe it's verse 4, says that surely He has borne our griefs and our sorrows. It said, and we esteemed Him stricken of God and smitten. But it goes on to say, but it was for our transgressions. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would. Open them to the book of Hebrews in chapter 2. Our subject tonight, or the title of the message, if you will, tonight is The Burden of the Savior. Now, while we know that all things were made by Him, as it states in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, the Bible there says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So you see, all things are valuable, and they are loved by God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we, as His creation, we as human beings, occupy a very special place in the heart of God, as evidenced, I believe, throughout all of Scripture. Particularly in our text tonight. In Hebrews chapter 2, if you would please, find your way to verse number 5, as that will be the beginning of our text tonight. And we're going to read here just God's accounting of just who we are to Him. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. The Bible here says, for unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all under in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9 says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. You see, I believe that we hold that very special place in the heart of God. We are unique in that. All of God's creation is very special and valuable to him, but we have one extra little special place in God's heart. May I draw your attention briefly back to verses 7 and 8. Look with me, if you will. Consider verse 7 that says, thou hast made him, speaking of man, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Consider, if you will, the text of these verses give us the sense that, you see, God created us with a purpose that we should reign over his physical creation. But the end of verse 8, I would submit to you, shows us that the full execution of that purpose had to be withheld. And that goes back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Read that end of verse 8 with me again. He says, but now we see that not yet all things put under him. You see, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But of course, we recall that when Adam and Eve chose very poorly in disobeying the direct command of God about the tree in the center of the garden, they were removed from their post. The ground was cursed because of their choice, and sorrow was introduced into life. You see, they could not have the complete dominion as God had prescribed because of their sin that separated them from the very purpose that God intended for them. So verse 8b says again, but now we see not yet all things put under him. And the very next phrase is what? In our text, verse 9, the very first phrase says, but we see Jesus. Now, we know from Philippians chapter 2 how Jesus, and the verse says, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. We know it, we read it, we've heard messages about that time and again. But notice here in our text, if you will, just how similar the description of Christ is to us. Verse 7 again says, of mankind thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor. And in verse 9, look at it, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Now, I'm not trying to say that we are on plane with the deity of Christ. Absolutely not. However, if you see that for the suffering of death, Christ had to be made on plane with us. As we sang the song just a moment ago, he left heaven. He set aside the throne and his glory and took on humankind, was made just exactly like us. So, why and for what purpose would he have taken on such a form? Well, the scripture says that he, in the end of verse number 9, look at it again, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, here's the purpose, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Friends, if there seems in your own mind to be any question about who God wants to redeem and save from the consequences of sin, whether it is unclear to you in John 3:16, where it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, or if perhaps Romans 10:13, as we heard this morning, is not sufficient, where God says through the Apostle Paul, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, or a great number of other verses that speak of salvation's availability, can I challenge you to take this verse in our text here tonight, Hebrews 2:9, to be the final clarification that you can have eternal life in heaven with God the Father through Jesus Christ? Can I challenge you with that, both here in the sanctuary and those of you at home tonight, if there's ever been any question, well, what about me? I've done way too many bad things. God couldn't possibly. No, the verse here says that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I don't know that that's confusing one way or the other. That's pretty plain English, if you ask me. You know what? Let's read that verse aloud together. I challenge you to take this verse as a clarification. Let's read it aloud together. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says, let's read together, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You just said it yourself. It's plain as the nose on my face. Scripture is pretty clear. Salvation is available to everyone. And by the way, just in case, that word for, that little three-letter word right there, for, in the last part of this verse, it carries with it an understanding from the original language of three things. It carries with it the understanding of instead of. It carries the understanding of in the place of. It carries the understanding of on behalf of. So very briefly, let's listen to this verse with these understandings. It says, he, by the grace of God, should taste death instead of every man. He, by the grace of God, should taste death in the place of every man. He, by the grace of God, should taste death on behalf of every man. Have we driven it home enough? Salvation is available to you and to me and to every man, woman, child living on this earth. And verse 11 then goes on to read in our text, verse 11 goes on to read, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And again in verse 13, it goes on and he says, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. That's you and me. The children that God has given to the Lord. Now, I want to say one thing. I have heard this a few times, and it tends to stir up the blood a little bit. But I would challenge you and I would exhort you to please do not ever get caught up, as some people have, with the idea that Jesus ever got married on this earth and had children of his own while he lived as a man. Jesus Christ only ever had one desire as he walked on this earth, and that was to do the will of the Father which hath sent me. You find that written in John chapter 5 and verse 30. What was that will? We just read in Hebrews 2:9 that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Then also in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, we read, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, the Bible reads, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." It was God's will that you were born. And as many, there is no particular selection of this group over here I'm going to save, or that group over there I'm going to... No. As many. Christ should taste death for every man. You see, the children that he speaks of here are you and me and all who have believed in and put their faith in and put their trust in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, so what about his burden? We're talking about, wasn't that the subject? You said that was the subject. What about his burden? Yes, thank you for keeping me on track. Here comes his burden. Are you ready? All right, good. Follow along as we read the rest of Hebrews chapter 2. Starting in verse 14, the Bible here says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily," that means truly, "and in fact, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things..." There's that word, wherefore. We talked about that Sunday morning. What a beautiful word that is. Wherefore, it means because of what we just read. "Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Now, I ask you this. Can any of us here tonight or watching at home, can any of us truthfully say that we have never been tempted? Now, I'm sure that you'll recognize that temptation comes in many forms. Whether it is temptation to sin outright, like, lying, cheating, stealing, hurting someone, disobeying orders or commandments, things like that, direct and outright sins, or whether it's a temptation to rebel against authority, or whine, or complain about something that we have been asked or given to do. You see, there are any number of ways that we might be tempted. I can't possibly cover all the ways that you or I might be tempted in our life. But I believe that every single one of us has to admit that we've been tempted. Well, Jesus knows just exactly how that feels. He knows what it is to feel the struggle, the emotion. We just read it in verse 18 of our text. "He himself hath suffered being tempted. He is able to succor them." That means to understand. That means to help. It means to support. It means to offer relief just as he found relief. It says he is able to succor them that are tempted. How is that possible? Well, because as verse 14 of our text said, he took part in the same flesh and blood as we have. You see, Jesus knows and feels whatever temptation you may be going through in your life, even right now tonight. Are you being tempted tonight with something. Maybe your mind is wandering. Maybe your mind is off on I have no idea what. But friends, do you know that Jesus Christ, our Savior, knows what that feels like and knows how to struggle against it? But here is the greatest part. We find it in just a couple of chapters over. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. You probably know this by heart, but the Bible says here, and we are reminded, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, those last three words are of absolute and utmost importance. Do not read that verse without the last three words. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. What that means is that while we were born spiritually separated from God, which again goes back to the beginning when Adam and Eve, who broke off that spiritual oneness with God and having children after their own kind and in their own likeness after that spiritual separation happened. You see, that spiritual separation or spiritual deadness, if you will, is now in the inherited condition under which all children are born. Separated from God, spiritually dead. That's why the Bible says that He has to quicken us or give us life spiritually. With one exception. There's one exception to that. I just said that it's the inherited condition under which all children are born except the Lord Jesus Christ, who is yet without sin. So the burden of our Savior, what is it? Well, it is us. It is the burden that we carry. Having brought such sorrow upon ourselves, having made through our innate separation from God an environment around us that is so spiritually dark it's nearly impossible to see our way out, Jesus Christ reminded Thomas that He is the way out. That's why we can read in verse 16 of our text, if you can turn back to chapter 2, verse 16, it says, for verily He took not on Him the nature of angels. You see, He didn't make Himself like the created angels, no. He made Himself like the created humans who chose to separate themselves from God. He chose to be like you and me. So that He knows what we're going through. Friends, have you ever had somebody, have you ever heard the old adage that you don't know what someone is going through until you walk a mile in their shoes? Friends, Jesus Christ walked 33 years in our shoes. Christ knows how we feel. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. Romans chapter 5 shows us so much of the character of God's love in verses 6 through 11 as we get ready to close. Oh, we're going to be done early, Pastor. As we get ready to close, but turn with me over there to Romans chapter 5 for just a minute. If we have time, you can turn there, and it's good to see it with your own eyes, right straight out of the Word of God. Romans chapter 5. Find your way to verse number 6 and follow along here. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were, you see, we were not good people. We were not a good man, as we just read. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have now received the atonement. Can I ask you a very personal question? Please don't answer me. Answer the Lord in your own heart with this. What heavy burden are you carrying tonight? What heavy temptation are you dealing with? What perceived failure on your part is plaguing you? Have you given it to the Lord? Have you taken it to the foot of the cross and left it there? Wouldn't it be so much better to replace that burden, that temptation, that guilt that perhaps you're feeling? Wouldn't it be so much better to replace that with, what did the verse here say? Joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I leave you with 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. What is the burden of our Savior? Me and you. The burdens we carry, we talked about earlier in Isaiah 53:4. Surely he bore our griefs and our sorrows. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Pastor, won't you close us tonight?
Well, the fact of the matter is that we carry things we don't need to carry sometimes. Amen. And we carry weight. It's sort of like when you get a little bit older and you don't know when to stop eating and you put on a lot of extra pounds, a lot of extra weight. And you know that the difficulties that brings health-wise on your heart and every other aspect of your living. And spiritually, it's the same thing. We carry burdens that we need to be giving over to the Lord. He does care. He cares for us. But he wants us to bring them to him. We were not created by God to bear them alone anyhow.
Right.
Because they're bigger than we are, but they're not bigger than God. And so let's give them over to him. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together tonight. And we thank you for the message that we've been reminded that, Lord, we are the redeemed of the Lord. Lord, you care for us. You want the very best for us. Lord, we think we know what's best, but the truth of the matter is, Lord, we really don't. We know what we like. We know what we want. We know what we desire. But Lord, even as our own children ask us for things that we know that are not beneficial to them, Lord, there are things in our lives that are not beneficial to us, and Lord, you would that we would get rid of those desires and turn them over to you so that we might take your will and your desires upon ourselves. But Lord, the unsaved are also a burden. Lord, he wants to see them saved. He cares. He cares deeply. He cares profoundly. And Lord, maybe be reminded tonight, especially those who may not be saved that might be listening or might hear this message somewhere at some point at some time. Or realize that there is no sin in this lifetime that they can commit that you cannot and you will not forgive, except for rejecting you and dying in that rejection. Beyond that last breath, there is no hope. And oh, how the Lord cares and how he works and how he labors with the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God and with the believers. He labors and he labors to bring our unsaved loved ones to a saving knowledge of Christ, that we also might live the life that would create a desire on the part of the unsaved to come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior. But tonight, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe there is a burden that you're carrying, and it's heavy. Yes, you've brought it before the Lord, but we want to pray with you tonight. We don't have to know exactly what it is, but the fact is that you might be carrying something, some burden that you care very deeply for. It may be a loved one, it may be a neighbor, it may be a coworker that you've talked to and witnessed to, and you'd like for us to just lift them up before the Lord. He knows all about it, so we'll just lift it up before the Lord. Just say, preacher, pray. I have a burden tonight. I want to put it before the Lord. Yes, I see a hand here tonight. I see a hand here and another hand there. Someone else tonight, you've got a burden on your heart tonight that you want us to pray with you about that here tonight. And we want to be able to do that. I'll be able to do that. Well, Father, as we close tonight, we just thank you again for the message we've heard. And the fact that I'm sure that many of us here at one time or another, if we don't carry a burden now, we're going to carry it as sooner or later. Lord, the whole time you were here on earth, you knew what your mission was. You defined your mission, and your mission, and Luke gave it to us in chapter 19 and verse 10, that you have come to seek and to save that which is lost. That was a great burden. And Lord, you sought us and found us, and Lord, we came to a saving knowledge of you. But Lord, there may be tonight, the burden may be personal in nature. It may be because they're concerned about the way another believer's living their life, or it may be the way that the unsaved, they've heard the gospel, but they're not responding, or they're hedging back and forth one way or another. And Lord, tonight we want to see the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit brought to bear on those particular burdens. And that, Father, we'll give them over to you, knowing that, Lord, you're the one, the only one that we can bring them to that can accomplish what we desire. And Lord, we pray that our desire is the same as your desire. And if that's the case, then Lord, I believe it will come to fruition. So, Father, we just again thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Brother Steve's message tonight. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.